Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the fact that we have within us the uncreated eternal life of God. If you're born again today, if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, you have something in your spirit that you didn't have before you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the very life that's in God in you. And that life has already produced a tremendous transformation in you. It's turned you from a sinner into a son. It's turned you from unrighteous, unholy, child of the devil to a holy, righteous son or daughter of God. And that life is now in you to empower you and enable you to walk even as Jesus walked when he was on this earth 2,000 years ago. And we're looking at the example of a man who knew he had the uncreated life of God in him through union with Christ. He knew he was united to the life in God as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. He believed it and he experienced it. It's already Friday. We need to just jump right in. If you missed any of the previous lessons for this week, you can go to the website and sort of catch up. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Paul knew that he died with Christ. When Christ died, he died. And he knew that when Christ was raised up, he was raised up. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I now have in me resurrection life. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He knew that he was alive, his spirit was alive, because he was in union with Jesus Christ. Then he made the statement, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." He lived by faith in the Son of God. He knew Jesus was in him through union. He knew the very uncreated life of God was in him through union with Christ. He knew that that life in him was in him to enable him to live and walk even as Jesus walked, and he believed it. And he expected Jesus to be and do in him through that life all that Jesus intended to be and to do in and through Paul. And he experienced it. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the first half of chapter 5, where Paul talked about having a treasure in earthen vessels. And even though he was troubled on every side, he wasn't distressed. Even though he was perplexed, he was not in despair. Even though he was persecuted, he was not forsaken. Even though he was cast down, he was not destroyed. And he goes on to explain it's because the life of God in him continually would show up on the outside and cause him to overcome in the hardships he faced. He knew he had the uncreated life of God in him through union with Christ. He believed it and he experienced it. 2 Corinthians 4 and the first half of 2 Corinthians 5. Paul stresses awareness of inward ability that shows up outwardly to deal with the hardships of life. And it is in that context that Paul made the statement, "We walk by faith and not by sight." That's 2 Corinthians 5:4. See, we struggle with all this because we don't know what we are, truly are, in relation to God. We're born of him. We're alive with the uncreated life of God. We're in union with God. We have something in us that wasn't in us before. We struggle because we don't know what we have. And then we also struggle because we walk by sight instead of by faith. See, Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight, but most of us walk by sight and not by faith. This is how most of us live. I don't feel strong, therefore I have no strength. I don't feel well, therefore I am not well. And so on and so forth. But all of that is based on what you see and feel. But Paul said, faith is not sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever faith is, it's not sight. But we base our view of reality on what we see and what we feel. If you're basing what you believe on what you see and feel, then that's not faith. God says in His Word, He says that we are in union with, we are filled with, we're in union with Jesus, and we are filled with His life. And in that life is strength, health, ability, wholeness, wisdom, so on and so forth. Everything that's in God's life is in us because that life is in us. We're not simply playing with words here. We are acknowledging that there is more to reality than what we can see and feel. There is an invisible, unseen, immaterial realm that has been revealed to us in the Bible. In this same discussion here where Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight, and where he speaks of awareness of inward ability that shows up outwardly to produce victory, Paul made the statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul lived by looking at, now that phrase looking at means mentally considering, while we look not at what we can see, but while we mentally consider what we can't see. Paul lived by mentally considering or looking at what he could not see. He understood that that realm has the greater reality in that it created all that we see and will outlast and transform what we see. Faith at its most basic level is agreement with God, because we believe and we trust His Word, even about things we cannot see and feel. Faith, in the sense in which Paul uses it, is not sincerity, it's not depth of commitment to the Lord, it's agreement with God because we believe and trust His Word, even about things we cannot see and feel. Even when what we see and feel contradicts what God says, we believe what He says. See, people get confused. They think faith means being committed to the Lord and being sincere. But that's not what Paul was talking about here. We walk by faith and not by sight. Think about Peter for a minute. Peter was sincere and fully committed to the Lord. He left all to follow Jesus to the point of dying a martyr's death. Yet, when Peter was empowered by Jesus to do something humans cannot naturally do, namely walk on water. Remember that? Matthew 14, Jesus was walking to the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. They were all in a boat. Peter called out, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. If it's really you, let me come unto you. And Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water by the power of God toward Jesus. But the passage goes on to say that Peter saw the wind and the waves, and he became afraid and began to sink. Peter was fully sincere, completely committed to the Lord, yet when he was empowered by Jesus to do something humans cannot naturally do, namely walk on the water, he did it for a while, but then he put more stock in what he could see and feel, and Jesus called that doubt or little faith. He began to sink. Peter began to sink. The power of God was cut off. Now Jesus rescued him, but he said, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter's doubt, or putting more stock in what he could see and feel than in what Jesus said, stopped God's power. A man fully capable of walking on water by the power of God was unable to do what God said he could do because he didn't believe it. See, that's where most of us are. We don't know what we have. Or if we know what we have, we don't believe it because we believe it when we feel it, and we believe it when it looks so, but when we can't feel it and don't see it, we don't believe it. That means we walk by sight and not by faith, because we put more stock in what we see and feel than in what God says. Now, Peter ended his statement here in Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul ended his statement here with, God loved me and gave himself for me. He understood that love motivated God in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, to join us in death at the cross, to bring us out of death in the resurrection, and then to indwell us by his life. Love motivated him to devise a plan to deliver us from sin and death, and then transform unholy, unrighteous sinners into his holy, righteous sons and daughters through the cross and the new birth. You may recall that in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, Paul listed a bunch of the trials that he faced as he preached the gospel, but he said that no trial that life brought his way could separate him from the love of God demonstrated through Christ Jesus. Paul knew that God in his love had united Paul to himself, and that union made Paul a conqueror. Paul had reached the point where he was not moved by what he could see or feel. He was only moved by what God said. That doesn't mean he always liked what he saw or felt, but he knew it wasn't bigger than God. In Romans 8, verse 38, he said, "For I have come through a process of persuasion to a settled conclusion that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That same life, the same God by his Spirit in us is in us. That same life that enabled Paul to live as a conqueror is in us. We need to become persuaded of it also. From God's point of view, you are complete in Christ through that union. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For it is in him, Jesus, that all the fullness of deity continues to live embodied, and through union with him, you too are filled with it." Now you might say, how can I be complete when I see and feel so many deficiencies in my body and my soul? Well, the reason you're complete is because you are now in union with the source of completeness. You simply need to become persuaded of it. We have a lot more to say next week, but consider these thoughts as we close. All of us want to experience the power, strength, joy, peace, so on and so forth, of God in our lives. Lessons like these inspire us to try to feel something in our body or make something happen. Don't do that. Just believe it. Take time to think about what we're discussing. Go over the scriptures. Personalize them. I am alive with the life of God. There's something in me that wasn't in me before. I am in union with the vine. The greater one is in me now, right now, to empower me and enable me to walk in victory. Become persuaded of that reality, because that is reality. Whether you see it or feel it, whether you're the weakest person on the face of the earth, you are strong through your union with Christ. Learn to live with the awareness of God in you. We'll talk more about this next week. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.